Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Psachim, Daf Nun Vov. We are beginning, we already did this yesterday, but we'll chazer it over from the Mishnah on the very bottom of Nun Hei Amud Beis. The Mishnah is a very interesting Mishnah, famous Mishnah, and the Mishnah begins, Shisha Dvarim Osu Anshe Yericho. There were six things that the people in Yericho did. They had certain practices, of which Shlosha Michu Biyodim, Yal Shlosha Lo Michu Biyodim. Three things the rabbis protested, three of the things the rabbis were not happy with, but they didn't protest them because there was a svara, at least, for them to be allowed to do them, even though it was connected what the Rabbanim wanted. Fine. What are these six things? We're going to discuss them all in more detail in the Gemara. We'll just rush through them now. The Eluhain Shlo Michu Biyodim, the following rabbis were unhappy about, but they didn't protest. That's the Shloshno Shalom Michu Biyadam. So, Markivim Dekolim Kol Hayom, they would go and graft palm trees all day long. We'll see this is talking about on Yud Dalet, on Erev Pesach, and the Gemara will explain what the issue was. The Korchen Eshma, they would do this practice with the Shema that would, in some way, not be saying the Shema correctly. Number three, v'kotzrim v'gochim, and again I pointed out yesterday, we're going to learn in the Gemara, and Rashi points out over here, the word v'kotzrim is incorrect. In the Mishnah, there was nothing wrong with the actual cutting, it was only the gochim, the piling it up, lifnei omer, before the omer was brought on the first day of Cholamai, because there was a chance they may come to eat it. So these three things the rabbis were unhappy about, but they did not protest. However, the following three, they actively protested against. V'elu, shemichu biyod, the following three they protested against. Number one, matirim gumzios shall hektish. Gumzios are branches, and the people of Yericho permitted them to take branches that belonged to trees that were owned by hektish, but the growths, the branches, they took, and the rabbi said, no, you can't do that. And they protested against this. Number two, that they protested against were ochlin mitachas and asharim b'shabbos. They allowed the fruit that had fallen off the tree to be eaten on Shabbos, and this was a concern that the Gemara will explain why. The rabbis therefore said, no, you can't do this. And finally, they had what sounded like a good custom, the Nostan Peah Le'erek. They gave Peah, they gave the poor people a corner of the field, even of vegetables, and the rabbi said, no, you shouldn't be doing that. Umichu biyodim chachom. And these three last practices, the rabbis actively protested and said, no, you can't do this. Now, here we have a strange thing. It says in our Gemara, we're going to now start the Gemara. But if you see on the side, in the Masoras HaShas, he brings down that in the Mishnayis, it's actually printed, Nitvas Koze LeMishnah. That we're in the fourth parak, and what we just read was the eighth Mishnah, and now what we're going to start having here as the Gemara is the ninth Mishnah in the parak of Makom Shenagu. In the Mishnayis, this is listed as a Mishnah, and not as a separate Tana Rabbanan, as a separate Braisa. Now, the Rambam, as quoted by the Tosus Yontif, says that this is really a Tosefta, and the Tosus Yontif answers, he says, but it's very kedai to explain this, and Mistam, and that's why we're somehow put in under the Mishnayis, even though it's a Tosefta. In any event, we'll continue reading here as the Gemara, because we're learning Gemara right now, as opposed to if you're only Mishnayis, you would now be reading the next Mishnah, the ninth Mishnah in this parak. Tana Rabbanan, the Braisa, Tosefta, starts off and says, Shisha Dvarim, paralleling our Gemara with the six things about the city of Yericho, the Braisa tells us there were six things that also Chizkiyahu HaMelech, the Chizkiyahu HaMelech, who was an unbelievably great tzaddik, Chizkiyahu HaMelech, according to some, was actually Moshiach ben Yosef. He could have been the real Mashiach, and he was a phenomenally great person who turned Klal Yisrael around and almost brought about Moshiach Tzidkenu. In any event, he did six things. Al Shlosha Hodulo, three things the rabbi said Yashar Koyach, as opposed to before, they didn't protest. Three things here he did, the rabbi said, Yashikoyach, he did the right thing, we agree with you 100%. However, Al Shlosha, it doesn't say they protested, lo, lo, they disagreed with him that he did something wrong. Again, this is Chizkiyahu HaMelech, he is a sage to be reckoned with, and the Chacham just didn't agree with some of his opinions. The first three they agreed fully with, the last three they didn't agree with, Lahodlo, but doesn't use the language of that they didn't protest or that they protested. In any event, what are these six things that Chizkiyahu HaMelech did? The first three that were very positive, Girer Atzmos Aviv, Amita Shel Chavolim. Lahodlo, the rabbi said, Yashar Koyach, he did a good thing over here. Now, Chizkiyahu's father was a very, very wicked king. His father's name was Ochoz, and he caused lots of Avodah Zarah to occur in Klal Yisrael. Chizkiyahu wanted his father to get a kapara in this world as best as possible, rather than in the Olam HaEmes and be forever in Gehenna. So when his father passed away, instead of giving him the proper kavod that a king would normally get, so as Rashi points out, Mishum Kapara, he dragged his father's bones, the body, he dragged it through the streets, not in a fancy beer B-I-E-R, a fancy coffin and a fancy cover that a king would normally get, but he put them on some robes, which was very debasing type of a way to be treating a king, and he dragged them through the ground rather than having them appropriately escorted to the base kvaros. So he did this all in order that his father should get a kapara and make Kiddush Hashem. He did it to make a Kiddush Hashem through his father. She's Gan HaRishos. Everybody should see what a Rashi he was, the Yusru HaRishoyim, and the Rishoyim get punished over here. And this way his father would be punished, so to say, in this world with the burial and not have all of this extra punishment that would be needed in Gehenna. So this was a positive thing that he did for his father. And the rabbi said, Yashar Koyach. Second one, Kitesh Nechas HaNechoshesh. Moshe Rabbeinu, we read about in the Psukim in Chumash, when there was a plague, so he created the famous Nechas HaNechoshesh. Many suggest that this is the medical Kedushas, that the snake wrapped around the pole. So this was, when they looked at the snake, they looked at Shemayim, so the plague went away. In other words, the Gemara explains elsewhere, in Brachos, other places, that the people look towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so they realize that all salvation comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All refuahs come from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's very important to remember in this time when we have Baruch Hashem, a vaccine from HaKadosh Baruch Hu against COVID, that B'ezus Hashem should be the way out of this pandemic. So we have to understand it didn't come from the doctors. The doctors were the shlichim, the scientists were the shlichim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu set up to allow us this unbelievable matana. And if people start worshipping the scientists, so then we have a problem. So that's what happened in the Midbar. Moshe Rabbeinu made this Nechash HaNechoshes, and ultimately people started believing that the Nechash HaNechoshes had certain mystical powers to it, and as a result, people believed that this was an extraneous type of a force, and Rashi points out, Lefi Shoy Tar Machruv, and people started following it, so Chizkiyo crushed it, he destroyed it, and therefore, Kites Nechash HaNechoshes, the rabbi said, Yashar Koyach, he did a great thing, stopping the people from turning this into an Avodah Zarah, essentially. And the third thing that the rabbi said Yashar Koyach to him was, Gona Sefer Refuos. Now, again, where the Sefer Refuos comes from, there's a lot of different discussions. Some say this was given to Adam Arishon, and he transmitted it down. Others say Shlomo HaMelech wrote this. This was a book that basically had all the cures for all the illnesses, which sounds like it's a phenomenal idea to have. Except, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sometimes sends illness to a person in order to do tshuva. If you were to be given a punishment, and you just had to look up in the book, here's the cure for the punishment, then the punishment goes away. So then the punishment essentially becomes ineffective, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to do far worse things to the person. So therefore, the idea of having a book, which, well, it sounds very, very enticing that you just have to go look up in the book and it solves all your problems. So that is, in theory, a wonderful idea. But in practice, Chizkiyahu HaMelech saw that it was actually causing Klal Yisrael to sin and causing further troubles for Klal Yisrael. As Rashi brings out, it says in the Pasuk, Vatov, I did what was right. They didn't take a sickness as any sort of a sign from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They would just go to the book on page 17. It says, do this, I do this, and I'm better. So therefore, it caused a lot of difficulties for Klal Yisrael, and Chizkiyahu destroyed the Sefer. Chazal said, Yashar Koyach, he did the right thing. Now, the three things that Chazal didn't agree with him, lo hold low. Again, they didn't say micha, they didn't protest because it was Chizkiyahu HaMelech. They just didn't agree. Ashlosh lo hold low, what are these three things? So number one, Kitz is dlosol shel heichal, the shigron lemelech Asher. When Asher, when Sennacherib came to attack all of the world, so he came to attack Yerushalayim, but he was defeated at Yerushalayim. Nevertheless, there was still a huge presence, Melech Shalmaneser or Sennacherib, so he extracted a huge tax from Chizkiyahu HaMelech, and Chizkiyahu HaMelech and the people didn't have the money to pay for it. So what did he do? He took down the doors of the Heichal, which were made of gold, and he took off the gold, and he sent all the gold to Melech Asher. Now, the rabbis didn't like this. Lo d'lo. The rabbi said, listen, you should have more Emunah in Hashem, just like he saved Yerushalayim with the miraculous killing of Sennacherib's generals. It says that 285,000 of his generals died instantly when the Malachim blew into their noses. They all died, the Srefa from the inside. So the power of HaKadosh Baruch Hu was recognized. And by sending him these Dolosos Shel Heichal, it's diminished HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore the rabbis were unhappy that he bowed to this tax that Melech Asher had asked for. Okay, that's number one. Number two, Sasa Megichon HaElyon. When they came to attack, it says in Divrei Yamin, L'man lo yavo, ma'achi Asher, v'yim tzumayim lishtos. They didn't want them to have water. The invading army, if they didn't have water, it would be very difficult to fight. So he plugged up the Megichon. And the Chacham said, no, you should have had more Bitochin Lakodesh Baruch Hu. Rashi says, Lo hodu lo shoy lo toch b'Hakodesh Baruch Hu. Hashem said, I'll protect the ear. We're going to see, Al ho'ir hazos lo shia. Hashem said, He'll protect you. So what do you have to do any hishtadlus? What do you have the promise of HaKodesh Baruch Hu that you're going to be saved? Then your hishtadlus stops right there. And the third one was, Iber Nisan b'Nisan lo hodu lo. We have a second month of Adar, so that is only allowed to be made by the Chazal under certain circumstances. It has to be during the month of Adar. And the Gemara in Brachos discusses that he thought that as long as you hadn't yet declared the new month, so then you could have the 30th day of Adar still be making it into a Uber Yar, into a second month of Adar. Whereas the Chazal said, the Chacham said that once you have reached beyond the 29th day of Adar, you can't make it Adar Rishon. Then the next day has to already be Nisan. And therefore, you can't make an Iber Yar by the 30th day of Adar Rishon, or what would have been Adar Rishon. But he did this, Homachlokis and Goran Brachos, why he did this. Iber Nisan, Benisav Lo Hodlo. He felt that it was very important that they have an Iber Yar that year because he was just getting rid of all the Avodah Zarah, and his father had been a difficult king. As I said, there was lots of Avodah Zarah, and Chisko was getting rid of all of that Avodah Zarah. And then ultimately, he felt they needed an extra month in order to prepare for Pesach, probably. So he wanted to make it an Iber Yar. For various reasons, both economic as well as other, the rabbis have the right to make the extra month of Adar. But they only can do it when you've already still been in the first month of Adar. And this was the Machlokes and V'lo Hodlo. The rabbis weren't happy that he did this. This concludes this Braisa Tosefta, or in the Mishnah, it's the ninth Mishnah in this Perek. Now we go back to discussing what we have as our Mishnah here. That's why it's very interesting. What is this Braisa doing over here before we explain our Mishnah? Again, if you have it as a separate Mishnah, so it makes a lot of sense. Now we go and discuss our Mishnah. The first thing in our Mishnah that the people of Yericho did that the rabbis were not happy with, but they didn't protest, was Markivim de Kolum Kolio Vechule, that they would go and do this Harkava. Harkava is like a grafting of the column of the palm trees on the day of Erev Pesach, not only in the morning, but they did this, according to many, even in the afternoon, and this was a problem. How were they allowed to do this type of work? So Mor says, Hechiyati. What exactly were they doing that the rabbis were upset about? So Rabbi Yehuda tells us that they took Maisei Osa Dora. Rashi explains that Osa Dora was Hadas Lach, a moist Hadas. So Hadas is what we use, of course, for the Arbaminim. It's a myrtle. And they took this Hadasim, they took a moist Hadas, the Shichra de Daphna. Shichra de Daphna, Rashi explains, Shechor Shalait is some sort of a sap that comes out of a tree. Vigdalinbo pre Shikorim Bish, a certain type of a tree. And the sap from this tree, they took out the juice that came from this certain type of tree. Vikimcha desari, they took barley flour. And this barley flour had been plucked. The Rame Bimona delo Chofiele Arbanyam. The barley had been plucked from the ground and it had been ground up into this flour less than 40 days. In other words, it had been plucked within the last 40 days. I took these three ingredients, this Hados Lach, the Shichru, the Daphna, and the Kimcha, the Sari, Umar Techeluhu, and they boiled them all together, right? The Resicha is boiling it, so they boiled them all together, they cooked them all together, and they took this product, this liquefied product afterwards, and they injected it in Vishaduluhu, the Dikla Belibe, they injected it into the heart of this palm tree, as Rashi explains, Vekel Yeshlo Lev Mitocho, the palm tree has a heart inside of it, so to say. This is like the vascular system of a tree. Vyeshlo Moach Li Orcho, and the inside moisture, so to say, this Moach, like the marrow inside of it, goes up and down, and brings the sap up from the bottom to the top, brings the nutrients. And Rashi adds, he says, Hamashka Hazem Moel Dekel Iskaim, that this infusion that they gave to the tree caused the tree to be very strong and survive. And the Gemara points out, behold, the koy be arba amos di day, and any other tree that would be within dalet amos of such a tree that had this infusion, ilo avi lehachi, if you didn't give the other tree this infusion as well, tsove li alter. Rashi says tsove means misyabesh, the other tree would dry up because the first tree was so strong because of this infusion that you put into it that it sucked up all the nutrients from the ground. And unless you gave the other trees nearby it a similar advantage, the stronger first tree that had received the infusion would become saturating and picking up all of the nutrients from the ground, killing the other tree. And the rabbi said this wasn't a good thing that they did because they were doing this on Erev Pesach, and this was considered work. No, why were they thinking that they were allowed to do this? They felt that this was a dover avod. They felt that this was a financial loss if they didn't do this, that the trees would die. And therefore, they felt that since Chol HaMoed you're allowed to do a davar avod, they felt that also you can do this on Erev Pesach. The rabbis were not happy about this, but at least they had a svara. Rav Acha b'Rei d'Rav Amar, alternatively, what was this markivin to call him? He said it was manche kufra dichra l'nukvasa. Rashi has two pshatim over here. They're basically the same, which he says that somehow they made a tree that was not capable of producing fruits into a tree that was capable of introducing fruits by doing this harkava, this grafting, or this bringing of a male, so to say, branch and putting it into a female branch. They inserted it in there, and this harkava, this type of activity, allowed the tree to produce better fruit or to produce fruit at all. Again, they were doing this on Erev Pesach. They felt that it was a davar of it. It was a financial loss. If they didn't do this, the tree wouldn't be able to bear fruit. And the rabbi said, well, you know, we're really not happy about this, but they didn't protest. The second thing that we said in the Mishnah was Korchen es Hashma. So what exactly is Korchen es Hashma? Hech Yovdi. What do they do that people in Yericho did that the rabbis weren't happy about but didn't protest? So I'm Rav Yehuda. Again, Rav Yehuda tells us they would say, Omim Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, the most famous pasuk of Shema Yisrael. But then, at the end, below Yom HaPsikin, they just went right into Yohafta Eis Hashem Elokecha. They did not go and have a pause. They did not say Baruch Shem for Machusol Yolom Va'ed. That's what Rav Yehuda says. Rav Omar Mafsikin, you know, they did stop. They didn't go right from Echad into Yohafta. They had a break. Ella Shahayom Rim, when they said in the first paragraph, Asherun Uchim Etzavecha Hayom Alev Avecha. They didn't stop after the word Hayom. They just kept on going. They said Hayom Alev Avecha. Now, you're supposed to stop after the word Hayom. So you're supposed to imagine, it's brought down in Shulchan Aruch, the person should imagine as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us all of this today. Every day is Har Sinai. We're supposed to be fresh and enjoying the mitzvah. It's like a bar mitzvah boy is so excited about putting on his tefillin the first time. When we're in the 95, we're supposed to feel the same way. But instead, they just went Hayom Alev Avecha, that today we have this on our hearts, implication being the Mashma Hayom Alev Avecha, yeah, today, but Lo L'morcha Alev Avecha, but this isn't something that's going to be there for tomorrow as well. So this was the mistake that Rava said that they were making, and the rabbis weren't happy about this. Now, Tana Rabbanan, we learn in the Braisa almost the same exact discussion. The Braisa states, Ketzer Yekorches Shema, what does it mean that they did this Korchen Es HaShema that the rabbis weren't happy about? So they would say, Omer Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, V'lo Yom HaPsikin. Diri Rav Meir. Rav Meir is like the opinion of Rav Yehuda, that they didn't have any pause between Echad and the Yohafta. In other words, they didn't say, Baruch Shem Kvom HaKzol Yom V'ed. That's the opinion of Rav Meir. Rav Yehuda Omer, no. Mafsikin are you? They did have an interruption. They did go and interrupt between Echad and the Yohafta. They didn't go straight through it. However, Mafsikin are you, Elosh lo yomim Baruch Shem Kvom HaKzol Yom V'ed. But they didn't say the words that we always say after the Shema, which is Baruch Shem Kvom HaKzol Yom V'ed. That's why the rabbis weren't happy about this. Nudimur says, where do we get this from? Why do we say Baruch Shem Kvom HaKzol Yom V'ed? But not my time I'm reading late. So why do we say Baruch Shem Kvom HaKzol Yom V'ed? It doesn't say it in the Pasuk. In fact, right after the Pasuk, it says V'yahavta. So how come we insert this extra phrase, this extra Pasuk? So the word says, Kedadarish Rishim V'lakish. This is based on what Rish Lakish said. What did Rish Lakish say? The Amar Rishim V'lakish. The Pasuk tells us, we just had this in Parshas Vayichi, and it tells us that Vayikra Yaakov El Bonav, when Yaakov is calling his sons together, he wants to go give them the brachos of Yaakov, and he wants to tell them, Ketz Yamin. Vayomer Heyosu Vagid Lochem, I will go tell you what will be during the future. In other words, when is Mashiach going to come? So Bikish Yaakov Legalos Lebonav Ketz Yamin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, however, didn't let him do so. Yaakov wanted to go and tell the children when the end of days will be, Ketz Yamin, when will Mashiach come? V'nistalk Mimin Ushrino, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu took away his divine presence. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took away his Ruach HaKodesh, and he wasn't able to tell him when the Ketz Yamin would be. So Yaakov got very upset. He said, uh-oh, Omar, Shem Mochas Shalom Yesh B'mitos Yipsul. Why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu not allowing me to tell my children? It must be that one amongst them, at least, maybe more, are Nebuch, not really good children. And they have over here this puzzle type of a Vlad. I have a child over here that Nebuch, one of you, is not deserving for me to be able to tell you when the Ketz HaYamin is. Just like he thought, Ki Abraham Shiyotzi Menu Yishmol. Just like Nebuch, my grandfather, Avram Avinu, had a Yishmael, and my father, Yitzchak, had an Esav, so maybe one of you is unfortunately a Yishmael or an Esav, and I didn't know about it, and that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu was taking away my Ruach HaKodesh, and I can't be Megal to you when the Ketz HaYamin will be. So that's what the sons heard from their father. So the children told their father, no, daddy, our dear father, Shema Yisrael, Rashi says, their father was called Yisrael. Le'avim, Ayomim. They said to their father, no, our dear father, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, don't worry, we totally believe, just like you do, that there's only one God. None of us are an Esav, none of us are Yishmael. They said, Amru, Kishem She'ein Beli B'cha El Echad, Kach Ein Beli Beinu El Echad. Just like you believe in one Akash Baruch Hu, so do we. That made Yaakov Avinu very happy. At that moment, Yaakov Avinu was so happy, he responded and he said, Baruch Shein Kivod Machusol Yom Vo'ed. And he said the famous words that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's glorious kingship should be forever praised. So therefore, the response that Yaakov Avinu said, Baruch Shein Kivod Machusol Yom Vo'ed, so we codify and we put that after the Shema Yisrael. Where it says, Ami Rabbanon Hechinovi. Now, the rabbis therefore said, what should we do? Moshe Rabbeinu, when he gave us the Torah, he didn't say Baruch Shein Kvod, but Yaakov Avinu did, so what should we do? Amar Rabbanon Hechinavi. Nemru, should we go and say Baruch Shein Kvod Machuso? How can we do that? Lo Amar Moshe Rabbeinu, it's not in the Torah. We shouldn't say it. Lo Nemru, how can we not? Amar Yaakov Avinu said it, so we're in a quandary over here. We have Moshe Rabbeinu not saying it, but Yaakov Avinu saying it, so what should we do? So therefore, that's why we say it silently. So we say it quietly, so to say, not to denigrate in any way the covenant of Moshe Rabbeinu, that it wasn't listed in the Torah, but to give honor to Yaakov Avinu that he said this. That's the girsa that we have over here. There are other midrashim that explain that Moshe Rabbeinu heard the Malachim say Baruch Shein Kvod Machuso, and he wanted to bring back this beautiful tefillah to Klal Yisrael, but he didn't want them to know that he got it from the Malachim. So therefore, he said it quietly. He told the people, say it quietly, Baruch Shein Kvod Machuso. And this way, this is the praise that the Malachim say, but I don't want the Malachim to so to say no, that I took it from them and gave it to you, and therefore say it quietly. That's why, according to many, on Yom Kippur, when we are like the Malachim, so then we can say Baruch Shein Kvod Machuso out loud. In any event, the Gemara continues and says, Amar Yitzhak, Ami de Rebbe Ami, they send the base medrash of Ami, Moshul of Asmelech, Sheiricha Tzike Kedera. Our saying, Baruch Shein Kvod Machuso, is analogous to the daughter of a king who smells a pot. Now, it's pasnish, it's improper for the daughter of the king to say, I would like to have some food, that I smell this delicious pot. She's supposed to be of royal nature and shouldn't be like a plain person, say, I need some food, I need some food. But she had this desire. She smelled this. And we know in many places, Moritz says, if a person smells something on a fast day, it could lead to them to have bulimus, a certain type of illness, if they don't get this food. So then even on a fast day, you'd be allowed to give it to somebody if they felt sick from it. But it's pasnish for the king's daughter to go and ask for this. So what is she supposed to do? Im tomar yesh lo gai. If she says, please give me some of this food, that's pasnish. It's like a gnai. It's a negative thing for the king's daughter to go and say, please give me this food. Lo tomar, she shouldn't say it. Yesh l'tzar, it's causing her some physical pain by not having this food. So the servants saw this. The servants were smart. So hischilu avodel lavi b'chashai. So they gave her some a little bit on the side to go and make her feel better. And this way, it's like we say baruch shein kvod machuso. We say it on the side in order not to, so to say, cause the pasnish that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't say it. But that Yaakov Avinu said it. That's the desire. Shirichu tzike keder. It's like Yaakov Avinu wanted to say it. Amar Rivo said, Hiskinu Shiomri Moso B'Kol Rab. Originally, the rabbis didn't follow this. The rabbi said, say it out loud. Baruch Shein Kvod Machuso. However, the reason why they did this was Mipnei Taroma Saminin, because there were people that saw them after they said, Shema Yisrael Shem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. They were muttering something under their breath. So the Minim, the heretics, would say, yeah, they don't really mean that there's one. They would say there's somebody else. There's another person involved over here. There's another God. So therefore, Mipnei Taroma Saminim, they changed it from saying it silently. They said, no, you have to say it out loud all the time. So people shouldn't be choshesh that we're saying some other things under our breath that negate the fact that Hashem Echad. However, Ubi Naradoi, the Lech Aminim, in places like Naradoi, where there weren't these heretics that would go and say that they're saying things other than Hashem Echad, so therefore they didn't have to institute the saying it out loud, and they left it Ad Hashta Amri Lo B'Chashai. And they still say it to this day, like we do to this day, and we say it quietly. Tana Rabbanu, we bring out another Braisa. Shisha Dvar Masu Anshe Yericho, Shlosh Rotsu Chacham, and Shlosh Shlo Rotsu Chacham. Here in this Braisa, it's going to reiterate a lot of what we said in this braisa. It uses the lashon over here that three things they did with the ratzon of chachamim according to the Tanna Kamma, and three things he said shelo ratzon chachamim. That's a little bit different language than michu velo michu. So that's what the braisa has. The first opinion is three things the rabbis agreed to, and three things the rabbis did not agree to. So what are the three things rabbis agree to? So those were the first three things that we mentioned before, that lo michel, makivim the kolon kol yom, they would graft, like we discussed, the korkan shema, like we just discussed. And the third thing was, it says, the kotsrin lufnei omer, they would go and harvest before the first day of Chol HaMoed Pesach, the new crop, which is still not able to be eaten because it's Chodosh, and when they brought the Omer on the first day of Chol HaMoed Pesach, so then it was already harvested already, and they could go and easily prepare the flour and the food from that harvest. So they did the Ketzira before the Omer, and the rabbi said, no problem, they did that with Ratzon Chacham. However, the following three things they did, the Elu Shelo B'Ratzon Chacham, the following three things they did against the Zayis of Chazal. What were those? Goat of the Omer. Here they piled up the wheat or the grains that they went and cut. They put it into a form that it could be eaten. When you just harvest it, you don't eat that. So there was no concern. That's why the kochin was allowed. But the gochin is already piled up, so people might eat it while they're piling it up. And now it's chadash. You're not allowed to eat it until the first day of the Omer. So therefore, the rabbis weren't happy that they did this gedisha before the first day of Chol HaMoed Pesach. Second thing it mentions, uparts and protzos beginosayim, they would open up breaches in their gardens, ubefardosayim in their orchards. And the reason for this was lahachal neshul aniyim, to allow the poor people to come in and have the peres hanoshim, the fruits that fell off the trees during the years of famine, bishnei betzores. And they would eat this, bishabasos or yamun tovim, they let them come in and eat it on Shabbos and Yontif. Now, that also was something that the rabbis were not happy about. But here it says, Shelo b'ratzon chacham. The rabbis didn't protest. It just was without the willingness of the rabbis to agree to it. And the third thing the Brisa says, Matirim gamzios shel hekdish shel chorv shel shikamo. The hekdish trees of chorv, carob trees, buxer trees, and sycamore trees. So these are trees that were donated to hekdish, but then the subsequent branches that grew from it, they used. And this was something that the rabbis were not happy about. Shlomo Rotzon Chacham. And this opinion that we just read is Divrei Rav Meir. The Tanakhama here is Rav Meir, who said these were the six things. Amar Rav Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda the Tana says to him in this Braisa, if you're telling me in Birtzon Chacham Mayu Osim, so then Yehu Kol Adam Osim Kein, then everybody should be doing this. So why did you just say the people of Yericho did this? If it was a good idea, then it shouldn't have been just the people of Yericho that did this. Everybody should have done this. Therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says, no, I disagree with you. This is the way the Braisa should be read. Ela elu ve'elu shelo l'ritzon chacham hayosim. As we had originally read, the rabbis were not happy about this, even the first three things. But just on the first three, they didn't protest. And it's only on the last three that they protested. So therefore, even the first three weren't Beratzon Chachamim, but they didn't protest, and it's the last week that they protested. So Shlosha Michu Biyadim, the last week, Shlosha, the first week, Lo Michu Biyadim. So the Elu Shlo Michu Biyadim, what were the first three that they didn't protest, albeit they were not happy? So those we said again, Markivin Dekolim Kayom, they grafted these Dekolim, as we explained what that means. The Karkas Shema, we explained what that means. The Kotsrin, the Gochin Lefnei Omer, and they did. Again, we have the gear, so we have a kotrim, but the kotrim really wasn't the problem. The problem was the gochim. And some are encouraged, the words are kotrim here. So the gochim of the Omer, they did the gedisha before the Omer, which people might end up eating it, and the rabbis therefore were not happy about it, but they didn't protest because technically they didn't do anything wrong. But the last way, they protested actively, they were doing something wrong. What would they do? Matirim gamzio shel hekdish shel chorav shel shikbo. Here you have a slightly different order, and it says that the first thing that they protested against was that these trees that were made into hektish, the chorav and shikamore trees that were made into hektish and then grew subsequently branches, the people used those branches and said they didn't belong to hektish. And the rabbi said, no, they do belong to hektish. As we'll explain in the Gemara, even though there's no me'il on them, but there's still an isser taking them because they belong to hektish. So that was the first thing they protested. Uparts and protzos begin to say, Mufayda sayem, lahachal neshul aniyim b'shabosos yom tovim b'shnei b'tzores. Again, the order of the wording is a little bit different, but the idea is the same, that they opened up their gardens and their orchards to allow the poor people to take on Shabbos and Yom Tov the fruits from the trees that fell down. And the rabbi said, no, you can't do this, and more will explain why in a moment. And then the sixth and final thing was Nost and Pale Yerik. The last of the three things that they protested was that they took, and this is the gersa that we had before, they took peah from vegetables. The rabbis protested the last three things. This was the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda the Tana. So more questions is, V'sava Rabbi Yehuda, Kitzira, Shelo B'Ratzon Chachamim? So here we question, did the rabbis really say that Kitzira was not with the Ratzon Chachamim? But we learned in the Mishnah in Menachos, where it says, Anshei Yericho quotes with the Omer Biratzun Chachamim, that they in fact harvested with the Ratzun of Chachamim. The Gochel of the Omer Shalom Ratzun Chachamim, it was only the piling it up that was the problem. And even there, while they piled it up, the rabbi said, okay, we don't like this. They didn't protest. So how can you tell me that it's Kotzrin Vigochim? The Ketzira is not a problem. So how can you say this, Rabbi Yehuda? So we turn to Nun Vav Omid Beis, and the Gemara says, Man Shamisle the Omar Michu Velo Michu. Who is the author over here that said that they protested the last three, Velo Michu, but they didn't protest the first three? This is Artana, Rabbi Yehuda. And Ketani, Kotzrin Birtzon Chachamim. So you can't tell me this is Rabbein's opinion. This is Rabbi Yehuda. Shmuel says, according to you, Ultaimech, Hani Abahava. So according to this, there were four things, Kotzrim Vigochim. So there are four things, not three things. Shmuel says, you're right, Elasami Mikan Ketzira. You're right, the word Ketzira doesn't belong here. And now everything jives. The Ketzira is allowed. The rabbi said, that's permissible. L'chatchila. We didn't protest that, and we're not even unhappy about it. It's only the Gedisha, the piling it up, that was the problem. Now, we explained the last three, which we never really fully explained, why the rabbis were unhappy and they protested. So it says, Umatirin Gamzio Shel Hekdi Shel Chor Shel Shikamor. What exactly was going on here? So Amru, the people of Yericho, they said, listen, when these trees were made hektish, Avasein Olo Hektishu El Koros, they made the trees, the Chorov and Shikamor tree, they made them hektish. And therefore, Vanu Natir Gamzio Shel Hekdi Shel Chor Shel Shikamor. And any growths that subsequently grew were not originally made hektish. So therefore, we're allowed to take them. They only did the principle, so to say, but not the subsequent growths. Says, and this is exactly the machlokas between what the people in Yericho did and the Chachamim. So they were arguing about what is the status of these subsequent growths from something that had been made hektish. So the people of Yericho said, they said, hey, there is no din of Me'ila over here, and that's why we're obviously allowed to take it. There's no din of Me'ila. However, the Rabban and Sabri, the rabbi, said, yeah, you're right. He, the Me'ila Lekka, even according to that opinion that says there's no Me'ila over here, Me'ila is an Issa Daraisa, that there's a specific punishment attached to it. You pay back the principal, you bring a carbon Asha Me'ila. However, Yisura Me'ika, even if there's no technical din of Me'ila, it belongs to Hektish, and the rabbis therefore said that even though these growths, while they may not be Me'ila, they belong to Hektish, and Midi Rabbanon was saying, go and leave it for Hektish and don't take it for yourself. So that's why rabbis weren't happy about them using these branches of the trees that grew from Hektish property. Second one was with parts and parazos. We said that they had these breaches that they made in their fences and their orchards and their gardens to allow the poor people to come in on Shabbos and Yontif and take the fruit that had fell from the trees. Now, Amar Ula, Amar Rav Shimon Lakish, Ula Sanei Rish Lakish, Machlokes Bishol Machbedos. The Machlokes between the people of Yericho and the Chacham, why did they allow the poor people to come in and take these fruits, was only dealing with the fruits that were called Machbedos. Rashi explains that the Machbedos are kapos tamarim hem berosh hadeko. These are the tamarim that are on the very top of the tree. Ukfufos zuetzozu ken kli. And they're next to each other like kalim. Ukshatmarim noshrim. And when the tamarim, the dates fall off the tree, makablos osan, these branches at the top of the tree are so thickly branched that the fruits fall onto them, so they're no longer attached to the tree, but they're on the branches. They're stuck in the branches. But Kivan de Gavoa, Rashi says, since it's high up on the tree, the only way to reach them is to climb up on the tree. And therefore, that's why the rabbis weren't happy about that they were climbing these trees on Shabbos and Yom Tov. They were afraid that once they're up there, they're not only going to take the tamarim that were already detached from the tree, but they would go take tamarim that were still attached to the tree. So the people of Yericho felt that this wasn't a problem, and the Chachamim felt it was a problem. So Ula says, they were Shlokish. The Machlok is only on those dates that are up in the top of the tree. The Rabbanim Savrei Gazrina Shem Yalav Yitlosh, as we pointed out in Rashi just now, the Gemara says that they were afraid that if you allowed them to take and climb up on the trees, to take the fruits that had already fallen off, but were stuck in the trees, they would then also pluck off additional ones, which would be an Issa Deraisa. Whereas the Anshei Yericho Savrei Lo Gazrina Shem Yalav Yitlosh, they didn't think that such a gezeirah was necessary or was made. However, Avo B'Shol Bein HaKipin, but the dates that were in the lower part of the trees. Rashi says, Lamata minofeim, below the top branches and the leaves, that the nofos hatachton that were in the lower branches, v'lek lemechesh l'tlisha, you didn't have to climb up on the tree to go and grab anything, and there were no fruits still attached to the trees over there. The fruits don't grow in the lower part of the tree, so anything that fell there was already detached, so therefore there was no problem whatsoever. Avo b'shal bein akipim, divrakol mutter. Even the Chachamim agreed that you could go and let the aniyim in and take those from the bottom of the tree. That's what Ula said in the name of Reish Lakish. Rava questions this. Amalei Rava. Rava says to Ula, "V'amuktzos ninu." Wait a second. They're muktza, right? They fell off on the trees on Shabbos. This is a classical Paris and Ocean, which we're learning more in Shabbos. They're muktza. So how are you, Ula, saying that they're allowed to go and be used even on the bottom of the tree? So Rava says, "You're going to tell me v'chitei mahol dechazel yarvin." You can say, even when they're attached to the tree, since rich people have orvin, and they go and bring the orvin to the tree and say, go fly up and eat them, so it's like it's muchan for the orvin. These ravens that the rich people had as pets, so this food was muchan for them, and therefore it's muchan li'adam. So I'll tell you that that's not a good answer. Rava says, hashta, muchan li'adam, lo avi muchan l'klavim. If something is muchan li'adam, it's not considered muchan l'klavim. If something is edible for human beings, we don't give it to our animals. If something is mukhan for an adam, we don't say, yeah, it's prepared for the dogs. You have a nice steak that you're planning to eat, you don't say, yeah, it's for my dog. So therefore, now that we say hashta, if we hold that mukhan li'adam lo havi mukhan l'klavim, if something is prepared for an adam, we don't say it's also prepared for a dog, as we learned in a Mishnah in Shabbos, where it says that Rabbi Yehuda Omer, the Tana Rabbi Yehuda says, im lo haisu nevela mer of Shabbos, asura, that an animal that died on Shabbos, you can't feed to your dogs because you're not allowed to cut it off for your dogs because it's muktzah. So if it wasn't an avela before Shabbos, if it was before Shabbos avela, then you cut it up for your dogs because it's muchan l'klavim. You'll have to feed your dogs on Shabbos. But if it hadn't died on Erev Shabbos, it died on Shabbos, it's asura because lefish einam in amuchan, because we don't say that it's muchan. So certainly, muchan li'arvin, heavy muchan li'adam, when you say that something that is prepared for an orev, for a raven, is considered prepared for an adam, so how can you tell me that these fruits in the trees that have become detached on Shabbos are considered muchan li'adam, just because they're muchan li'arvin? That's not true. On the other hand, Ula would say to Rava, no, I disagree with you. Amalei, he says, ain, I say yes, muchan li'adam, lo hevi muchan li'klavim. Yes, I agree with you that if something's prepared for an adam, it's not prepared for the dogs, but the other way around, I disagree with. Because the homie did the chazile inish, lo maxile bidaite. As long as it's edible for a human being, he doesn't take it out of his mind that he's going to eat it, and therefore he doesn't give it to his dog. However, something that's mukhal yarvin, if it's prepared for his animals, for his ravens, so he's always reserving the right to use it himself, heavy mukhal yarvin. And therefore, I disagree with you. Komi did the chazile inish, daite alabi. Since it's possible that it could be used for human, it's on his mind. So the people of Yericho didn't feel that this was muktzah, and that's why there's no muktzah problem over here, according to Ula, Amar Reish Lakish, according to the people of Yericho. So that's version number one, that the machlokis was only on the upper branches, because they're going to climb up on the tree and possibly do real talisha daraisa. They're going to harvest real attached to the tree tomorrow, but the ones on the bottom, there's no concern of muktzah, and the ones on the bottom, even the Chacham say, they allowed the people of Yericho to let the poor people come in and take them. On the other hand, that was Ula Amar Reish Lakish. He also Rabin came from Eretz Yisrael, Amar Reish Lakish. He said, Reish Lakish, no, the machlokas is Shobein Akiva. The machlokas is only on the bottom ones, because they're all considered muktzah, according to the Chachamim, and the people of Yericho felt that they weren't considered muktzah. The Rabbanan Savi Muchan Li'ovim, Lo Havi Muchan Li'odam, Ashi Yericho Savi Muchan Li'ovim, Havi Muchan Li'odam. No, that exactly, which we questioned a moment ago, that was exactly the machlokas between them, whether it was prepared or not. So on the bottom, that was the machlokas, muktzah, not muktzah. But on the top, Avol B'Shal Machvedos, everybody agreed. There on the top, there certainly was. Everybody agreed, you can't let them climb up on the tree because they may come to pluck off the tamarim that were already attached, that was still attached to the tree. Fine, that's the second one. We had the Gamzios, and we had the Pirzos that they allowed to let the poor people come in and take the Paris Hanoshim. And the third thing was, we said, the Nostin Peah LeYarek, that they took off what sounds like a nice thing. They gave Peah, they gave to the poor people a corner of the fields when it was a vegetable field. And the rabbis were unhappy about this and protested. Why? Why did the people of Yericho do this? After all, don't they agree that it wasn't Mechuyav in Peah? Klal Omer B'Peah. We have a famous rule which we learned in Mishnayos and Peah. What are the characteristics of a type of a field to take Peah from it? So, number one, kosher ochel, it has to be a food, as opposed to, the Gemara will say in a moment, things that aren't a food, you don't have a chiyuv to take Peah from them. Number two, it has to be something that's nishmar. It's something that is not hefker. It has to be something that's under your ownership. Number three, v'gidulim and aris, has to be something that grows from the ground. Again, we'll see things that aren't included in this that therefore have no chiv peya. And number four, ulikitaso kiachas, it's all harvested at the same time. It doesn't have different harvest cycles. Some of the fruits are ripen earlier, some of the fruits ripen later, some of them ripen even later. So they all ripen at the same time. Then there's a din of peya. And it's something that is usually preserved. It's not going to spoil right away. You can preserve it for some period of time. So these five characteristics, if a field has them, chayav bepeya. So these fields that they were dealing here with vegetables don't fulfill these characteristics, as Gemara explains. Koshu ochel, first characteristic was it has to be a food, as opposed to prat lesfiche sotis v'kotza, as opposed to these aftergrowths, the svichim, of these certain types of produce known as sotis and kotza, certain types of growths that aren't considered food. Number two, it has to be an ishmar, it can't be hefker, prat lehefker, as opposed to hefker. Number three, has to be gidulim and aritz, has to be something that actually gets its sustenance from the ground, that grows from the ground, as opposed to prat lekabam and pitrios, the various type of fungi and mushrooms that get their sustenance, we say, from the avir, that can grow on rocks and things like that, and therefore they're excluded from the nepeya. Number four, ulkitason ki achas, it has to all be harvested at the same time, as opposed to prat latanim, and mafarshim say other types of fruits as well, that mature at different stages. So some of the trees are ripening right now, some of the figs are ripening a little bit later, some of the figs are ripening a little bit later, and other fruits as well that don't ripen all at the same time, so there's no chiyav of peya. And finally, the fifth one, umachnisu lakiyam, and here's where we have the vegetables. It's something that is taken and it's used for a while, as opposed to vegetables, prat liyarek, that if you don't use them right away, they spoil. So therefore, how could the people of Yericho think that you're chayiv to take peya on yarek? So I'll review them around. Yudam Rav explains, you know, we're talking about hocha b'roshe lefoso saskinon. We're talking here about the leaves. Rashi says, the ale halefes, the leaves over here of the turnips. So these were, in fact, kept for a longer period of time. They were lakiyim, and therefore the Anshei Yericho thought that there was a chiyuv of peya on them. U'machnisu lakiyim, I did over acher kamiflegi, and you didn't keep them by themselves, but you did them with something else. So they were kept lakiyim when they were used to something else. And the rabbis and the Anshei Yericho were arguing about is this kiyim I did over acher significant called kiyim or not. Mar, so the people in Yericho said, yeah, since we do store it for some time, machnisu lakiyim, even though it's ayyidei dover acher, nevertheless, shmei kiyim, therefore we'll chayven pay. Well, Mar, so the Chachamim said, no, lo shmei kiyim, that's not called kiyim. And the concern was that if they were to go and take pay on something that didn't have a chiyuv of peya, so then it's potter, peya is potter from trumas and maestros. So the aniyim would think that this is theirs and they didn't have to take off trumas and maestros, but in fact it was mechuyav in trumas and maestros, and it would lead the aniyim to not take off trumas and maestros, and they're eating tevel, and therefore the rabbis were not happy about this and they protested. Tanu Rabban, we learn in the Braisa. Barishona, you know, it's peya. Originally, the people of Yericho did peya, the Tanakhama says, for lefes and kruv, for these lefes, which are turnips, and kruv is cabbage. And subsequently, Rav Yossi Omer, af le kaflut. Now, on the surface, it sounds like Rav Yossi is giving us that they also did it for kaflut. In addition to the lefes and the kruv, he added a third thing. The Tanya Idach, another Braisa says, how you know some peya le lefes for le kaflut? The first opinion in the Braisa is that they did it for lefes and not kruv, but kaflut. And then Rabbi Shimon added Omer, af le kruv. So we turn to Nun Zayin Omer Aleph. Neymar, the Gemara says, Tloso Tanai Habu. Let us say over here that there are three Tanaim. We have the first opinion in the first Braisa, and we have the first opinion in the second Braisa, and then we have, no, the opinion of Rav Yossi and Rav Shimon, respectively, that says, no, all three are Mechuyev. So Gemara says, in fact, lo, there's only two Tanoic opinions over here, Trei Tanai Habu. The Tanakama, the Rabbi Shimon, Hainu Rabbi Yossi. The Tanakama, the Rabbi Yossi, Hainu Rabbi Shimon. In fact, there are only two Tanoic opinions here. The first opinion was that you go take off in the first Braisa from these two, and the second opinion, Rav Yossi, that was brought down, he said, no, substitute the what I'm calling the third thing for one of the first two. I also agree there's only two, but a different two. And the second Braisa, it was the same thing. The first opinion, the Tanakhama said it's these two, and then along comes Rav Shimon and says, no, substitute. I also say there's only two, but I substitute what I call the third one for what you're calling one of the first two. So the bottom line is that the first Braisa and the second Braisa, the Tanakhama of the first Braisa is arguing with one opinion. And that opinion that he's arguing with is actually, Rabbi Yossi, is the same opinion as the second Braisa
the first opinion, the Tanakhama. So Rav Yossi in the first Brisa is actually the Tanakhama in the second Brisa, and vice versa. Rabbi Shimon in the second Brisa is actually the Tanakhama in the first Brisa. There's only two opinions over here. They're just arguing about which two of the three did the Anshei Yericho go and take Trumus Umaisus from. So what does it mean? The last question is, my ath? When it says ath, it means akamaisa. It means in addition to the first one, when Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yossi respectively say ath, this one, it meant in addition to one of the first two, they also took the third one. So bottom line is, all the opinions, the first Tanakhama, which is subsequently shown to be Rabbi Shimon, and the second Tanakhama, which is subsequently shown to be Rabbi Yossi, they say that there's only two, and Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yossi, as the Bar Plukta of each, says there's also only two, and we really only have two opinions here and not three. With this, we conclude today's share.